please listen carefully.
Well, hello, universe. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Summers McKay.
And I'm Christy Jansen. And we are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to make it one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, because honestly, this helps us read the Optimist Daily every single morning, we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, have a cup of coffee and get inspired-worthy podcast. Today is Tuesday, August 11th, 2020. Well, Christy, how are you today?
I'm fine, although I'm in this like midsummer fog of, wow, I can't believe it's August already. It's like almost the middle of August, and I don't know where this year has gone. And my husband and I were talking last night about just it's probably not going to change anytime soon. So let's just hunker down and find a way to make it really a positive experience, right?
Yeah. Step into the new normal.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I really do feel like there's a sort of evolutions of and cycles of emotion. Earlier in the summer, we talked about grief and the 5 stages of grief. We always want to imagine that we're going to go through those 5 stages and come out the other side, but I don't think that's how it works. I think you go through different cycles, different moments. For whatever reason, over this weekend and these last few days, I was really in a down phase, and I was really experiencing what I think of as kind of borderline depression. I mean, almost on a physical level. And it's just been interesting having more contact with friends, socially distanced, of course, and with my husband, and really being vulnerable and saying, hey, I'm really having a hard time, and the kind of love that I've been getting back, and allowing myself to be where I am and how important that is. But I do think that it's cyclical. It comes and it goes. And for whatever reason, I woke up feeling on the other side of that, but I'm still kind of in a sober mood. So that's where I am. Midsummer sobriety at the situation that we're in.
Yeah, I totally see that in kind of how you've experienced these last few months. And I think a girlfriend of mine and I were having a conversation about parenting and kiddos. And I was feeling very sad for her that her children were starting kindergarten and that it wasn't going to look like kindergarten. And she just made this comment that I just really thought speaks to what you were just saying about you and your husband stepping into the moment. She was like, well, I just want to figure out how to make sure they love learning. Mm-hmm. And I realized that we do have to abandon some of the traditions or expectations we had for the past, but understand that the true goals, right? The true goals of feeling fulfilled and feeling inspired and inspiring our collaborative colleagues and doing good work and living in homes that we feel safe and joyous in and raising our families, that still remains. The longer we spend our time just waiting to return to something of the past, the more it is going to just feel like it's never ending. I'm determined in the journaling and the work that I'm doing spiritually to look at this as a new beginning. So instead of it never ending, the past ended, it's done. So what does this new beginning look like and how does it feel good? And part of that, you know, you and I today, we're talking about travel and super, super missing travel. And I want to know from other listeners and readers at the Optimist Daily, for those of us who have a wanderlust, I mean, I have always envisioned traveling the world with my itty bitty little girl and adventuring and seeing things. What can travel look like for us in the future? What can adventure look like? I know, Christy, you're kind of preparing for a travel type adventure.
Well, yes, I'm doing a quarantine travel with a friend of mine. We have booked a house in a nearby community that's socially distant. We're going to go and spend 2 weeks quarantining so that I can go and visit my extended family. I'm really looking forward to having a little change of scenery, even though the idea of leaving my husband and Tucker for a couple of weeks is really painful, but it'll be good to get a little bit of a change of scenery in a safe way. It's not very far. It's 100 miles from where I live right now. So it's not like I'm going to the other side of the moon. I wish I was going to Croatia, which is, I think, one of the solutions we're going to talk about. But that's just not happening right now. And that's okay. I mean, and one of the things that I think that we forget is when we don't have the ability to just unthinkingly do the things which we feel like make us feel good, we start to take them for granted.
Yeah.
And on the other side of this experience of really being physically distant from a lot of the people that we love, or unable to just unthinkingly go out for a drive to some other town or go to a restaurant or a movie theater, all of these things, once we are able to go and visit friends and share a meal around a table again, I think we will appreciate those things at a different level. And it might even make us happier because of that. I was reading a study recently, happiness experts, and they did this thing where they had three different groups of people. They brought them in and they all were allowed to eat as much chocolate as they wanted in the period that they were there. Then they told one third of the people just to eat as much chocolate as you want. The middle third were like, try not to eat any chocolate in the next couple weeks before you come back. And then the third group, they didn't tell anything. So then they brought people back in, and the ones who were told to not have any chocolate in the last couple weeks, they had a markedly more appreciation of the chocolate they got to eat when they came back. Whereas right. the ones who were just eating chocolate, like eating as much as they could, or the ones who hadn't been told anything specific about restricting your chocolate intake, they just were like, yeah, it's chocolate. You know, yep. I like it, but it didn't give them that extra boost of happiness, mm-hmm. right, that you would otherwise have gotten. So I think when we are able to do the things that we used to take so for granted again, like hugging our friends.
Yeah.
Or family members, or meeting a new person and making a new, really fun personal connection, we're going to really appreciate that in a new way. And my hope is that we can really take that newfound joy connection with us. This will change our experience of the world in a profound way. And I'm hoping that we can take that lesson and grow from it.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's all about strategic growth and how we grow in a good and positive way. And there's no question this has been a tough time, but I think there is an opportunity to expand into a brighter and different future. And if we just accept that things will be different, but they can still be good. I know that part of my experience with quarantine also has kind of overlaid with being a new mom, in the sense that I think a lot of new moms tend to be pretty isolated anyway, right? That mm-hmm. sort of goes hand in hand. And I have really been wrestling with feeling trapped. Trapped is the word that came up for me in my therapy. That feeling for me in the past that I've always been able to sort of break free from feeling trapped has been hiking or climbing and getting on a mountain. And, you know, my hiking shoes and high heels were interchangeable, right? I always had a pair of both in my car. And I know that I'm going to make a commitment with Brennan that we're going to figure out how to go hike together. And it's just going to be different hikes. It's going to be littler hikes. It's going to be local hikes. It's going to be just a mile that I'll put her in my hiking backpack and we'll go. And that I'm going to commit to feeling really expansive about. Just like you feeling trapped to not be able to see your family and friends, you're making the commitment to the next step for what is the new normal. So how do I see my family and friends? I think not feeling trapped for me is a big part of kind of dealing with some of the angst and frustration that comes from COVID and then also from new momhood.
Yeah. So. I mean, honestly, when I was a new mother, I had that kind of feeling too. I mean, yeah. The whole world wasn't trapped with me. So it's a little bit different. You get to experience that feeling, but it is a huge transformation of your life. And you have another human being who's completely dependent upon you. And that can definitely make you feel some of those ambivalent feelings. You both love it, but you also feel restricted in new ways. You kind of have to own that ambivalence because it's both amazing and fantastic and the best thing in the world, and also a pain in the ass sometimes.
This morning we were talking a little bit about, I have thank you notes to send for Brennan's birthday, and I've written several of them and I'm ready to send them, but I don't have stamps because I haven't purchased stamps in months. And Christy made a comment. She's like, oh, you can get them at the grocery store. And I laughed because I haven't been to a grocery store since March. I went once. I've been one time because I always have the baby with me and I don't feel it's appropriate to take the baby with me into a grocery store. You know, I think I can get them from the ATM. So perhaps when she's napping, I'll zip over to the ATM and get, you know, but it's just those little things that the overlay of new momhood plus the COVIDness has been a very interesting thing. For now, our travel, our adventure for me is going to be on the Optimist Daily. Okay. So where are we going today? What lovely little Scottish town should we talk about?
Well, the story that that sparked my interest and joy this morning was the headline, "These small Scottish islands are mastering green hydrogen power," from the energy section on the Optimist Daily. And this is an article about the Orkney Islands, which is a small collection of about 70 rainy land masses. They're, you know, some of them are, can't really call them islands, but they're 70 little islands in the northern Scotland. And they are not well known, but they are really doing some interesting work in terms of creating green, resilient, and renewable energy systems with the creation of green hydrogen power. And hydrogen is, I believe, one of the solutions, one of the innovations, once we really do master creating green hydrogen at scale, it'll be one of the main solutions for getting off of the fossil fuel addiction that we have. Unfortunately, the way that it's produced right now, oftentimes it actually relies on natural gas in terms of the big scale hydrogen production. But it's very simple to create just using renewable energy and water and an electrolyzer. And it's pretty simple to get hydrogen using green power.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, only about 2% of hydrogen is created using green sources through electrolysis, which uses extra leftover energy from like wind or solar and use that electricity to charge the water and separate the atoms into hydrogen and oxygen. And so many wind and solar farms are either not having tons of leftover energy or they are not in regulatory environments that make sense for them to use that excess energy to do things like electrolysis. They might curtail it, just shut down the plant and stop collecting that energy, the wind or the solar, when they have overcapacity in the system. But with the Orkney Islands, what they're doing, they have really, really strong wind. So it's ideal. They have tons and tons of wind energy resources, right? And it was so overproducing, they were having to shut off the wind generators at periods of time because they didn't have anywhere to put that energy. What they've started doing is using it to electrolyze to create hydrogen, which can then be stored for any time in the future. And it's very cost effective in that because it's easier just to let it keep going and then switch it into using the power for electrolyzing. And so that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I love the name of the project, right?
The project on the Orkney Islands is called Surf and Turf, and it turns the leftover renewable energy into hydrogen, which then powers a local ship, a fleet of cars, and potentially the world's first hydrogen-powered sea ferry. The other thing that's interesting about these island nations or these island areas using renewable energy, a lot of times there's tons of renewable resources. If you think about Hawaii, there's so much solar there, and it's so expensive to ship diesel or petrol over to the island. For them, this would also be a no-brainer. More innovative areas in the U.S. is the islands of Hawaii, because they are really innovating also in creating green hydrogen.
There's another innovation area that I actually was watching a show about yesterday, and it's Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico is getting very aggressive with solar, as well as understanding that as a community, while they're a United States territory, they are constantly under threat of the changing climate and the hurricanes that will affect the island. And so in order to ensure that they never have what happened after Maria happen again, they have created insulated structures of green power, and solar is a big thing that they're using there. And I love all of these communities that are creating their own infrastructure of green energy. And that actually kind of leads to my story.
One more about Puerto Rico. The key there is the generation is now being distributed around the island. The big problem that happened there with Maria was they had a centralized power generation system, which was located on one side of the island. And most of the people were using the energy on the other side of the island. The entire grid got shut down and everyone was out of power for ridiculously long amounts of time. And the rugged terrain It makes it really difficult to repair those long distance transmission lines. And they have tons of solar generation resources. So it was kind of a dumb, backward looking construction, right? And so they are starting to design regional power grids, which are more microgrids. And even some are creating like microgrids on hospitals. So they have renewable energy backup systems that can be operating independently from any kind of grid. And that is the direction the energy will go in the future. So we can't really get into that today, but what's the story you were going to write about, talk about today, Summers?
Well, I'll go quick on this one just because we are way over time because we spent so much time chatting. The headline on this one reads, Croatia's 1,000 Solar Roofs Initiative is profitable and community-oriented in energy. Once again, as always, you guys hear me say it over and over, you can do good and do well in business. And this is a country's effort to demonstrate the financial positive impacts of green energy. Croatia has a 1,000 solar roof project. The actual whole name of the project is 1,000 Solar Roofs, Cities and Jobs Regeneration Through Community-Led Solarization. So in addition to the environmental benefits, they are generating between 3,000 and 8,000 new jobs per year. And it is really a kickstart to their green economic recovery coming out of COVID. So these are solar roofs. Pretty simple. People are being incentivized to put them on their roof, and they are then collecting and distributing the energy. There's a lot more to the story as you read it on the Optimist Daily, but this widespread support of reliable renewable energy in areas that should not be beholden to traditional energy, should not be shipping diesel, should not be using coal. You know, the earth itself produces a tremendous amount of energy that is really valuable for all of these communities. So these stories, I think, are just really, really exciting to see. And those people who are investing in this kind of strategy are just absolute winners to me, making this world a healthier and more viable and more sustainable place. That's my wrap on Croatia. And I just would love to be traveling there. But instead, I will look at beautiful pictures on the Optimist Daily.
Yeah. Maybe we got to go find some Croatian windows to look out of. I still haven't done my 10-minute window recording.
I haven't done mine either, but I think I know my plan, right? I'm going to put, because my window is here and I have a little candle. So I'm going to burn a candle and a little incense. And I have this, like, all my pretty things. And then I'm going to get the fountain bubbling. And then I'm going to put out some, like, plants that hopefully butterflies and hummingbirds
will look at. All right. I like that. I'll borrow your window someday, Summers.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And just because we didn't read all 10 of the headlines today doesn't mean you shouldn't. So go to the Optimist Daily and look at all of today's solutions.
There is a story about baby sea turtles in Bali. So yes.
Let's do it. Anyway, and when you're doing that, please consider becoming an emissary, if you're not already, on theoptimistdaily.com. And for only $5 a month, you can support reader-funded independent journalism. Be a part of the solution-changing consciousness that we are trying to inspire that addresses our world's biggest challenges with a problem solving mindset. Let's come together to keep the Optimist Daily free for all who need it, supported by those who can. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening today. Thank you, Summers, for being a little counselor for me today. Thank you, Amelia, for being here, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, guys. Thanks again.